is a News 1130 special report.
Clean and sober for 9 years, she has battled back from a childhood in which, by her own admission, she saw things she shouldn't have. A life on the streets as a sex trade worker beginning at the age of 17, as well as physical and substance abuse. Today, she is a certified addictions counselor. Her story shared and profiled many times, including by Dr. Gábor Maté. She is Amanda Stoller, the 2020 Coast Mental Health Courage to Comeback Award winner in the addiction category, and she joins me now. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi.
Now, Amanda, in my introduction, I mentioned how you grew up seeing things that you shouldn't have seen. Without getting into too much detail, if you're not comfortable, how did the sexual, the physical, and the emotional abuse influence or impact the person you would grow up to become?
Well, I think, looking back and I think understanding, some of the traumas today as an adult, looking back, it just kind of like laid the pathway into some of those high-risk situations, right? I don't think now that I have a better understanding about who I am today and some of the choices that I made, and it was like I was in a lot of survival, and I was trying to get my needs met, and through that process, I think that's where drugs have become a really big thing for me. It was like my way out.
Now, you also endured abuse at the hands of a partner. How did you get out of this relationship and end up leaving your abuser?
Oh, so that was a situation I was in, not an abuser. I was released from prison, and, through the people that you meet, I ended up in a situation that became almost like a hostage taking. And I was in a situation for months. And and I was threatened. If I had left, there was consequences. And then I tried getting away a couple times. And then what came with that was very traumatic. And then when I did get away, I just didn't want to look back. I didn't want to talk about that. And it just seems like 10 years later, being able to speak to some of these traumas and the abuse and addiction and violence and vulnerable women, where I can see how they can get themselves into those kind of crises.
Now, at what point would you say you reached bottom, or that point where you decided you wanted to have a better life? What made you change things? What made you flip the script on what was happening to you?
I think I just hit the done button. I don't know how to explain that. There was just like, after 30 years of living the life that I lived there, I just found myself like just started walking and then hitchhiking and trying to find a way to get to my sister's. And something happened with, I think it was a spiritual experience. I don't know what to say to that. Like, something was bigger than me. I don't know if God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I'm not a believer of God, but I believed in something that there's got to be something different and better than what I'm doing. I was afraid of dying the way that I was living as well.
Now, you went back to school as well to get your certificate in addictions counseling. You kind of alluded to this earlier, but what made you decide to go this particular route, choose this particular path?
Well, I think it chose me. I was back in Kelowna, and I remember the day that I was walking towards a meeting, and then where there was a corner down on Pandozi, where there was a time that I hung out there like years ago and selling drugs. And next thing you know, there's this career college there. And I opened up the door, and then it was like in lights. It just said addiction support worker. And then I just asked, how does someone get in school? Like, I was like 44 years old. And next thing you know, there was a cancellation. And within 3 hours, I had filled out everything that they asked me to do. I did a test. They did the finances. And then like 2 weeks later, I was given like $20,000 to go to school. I couldn't believe it. And I went. And I did this 2-year course in 10 months. And then after that, I did lots of volunteers. I did continued education. I did more trainings. I felt like I was a professional volunteer for like 4 years. And going to school and earning a living was my goal, how to be self-supporting and how I could take care of myself and not live in a life of crime.
And how important is it for you to give back, to help others, especially women who find themselves in similar circumstances to your own?
Well, it's really important. I think it's the value in the doing. I found a sense of belonging. I found purpose. I found meaning in life. And I didn't know that my greatest liability was going to be my biggest asset. And I think from my lived experiences, from like being a five-year-old little girl to a vulnerable 22-year-old having a baby on the street, to being a 44-year-old woman leaving four children behind, being incarcerated for 4 years, and the numerous, you know, situations I was in over the years, how I was able to, that became like my soil. It became like my lived experience became the gold. And I was able to talk about all these things that people were struggling with. I had lived experience, and I was able to put the message of hope to that and say that if I can do it, you can do it. I really believe that I get to be an instrument and use my life to the highest good.
And I understand that you take that message of hope to a variety of groups, including incarcerated women. How does it feel to be an example to them that, as I think one of your nominators put it, that there's not only a way out, but a way up through this?
Well, I feel that I feel obligated. That's where it's, I feel like I have to do this because there's like along the way, so many of us have died, and so many of my girlfriends have been murdered and beaten or raped or overdosed, or, you know, once they hit, I don't know, the streets after being in prison for so long, you know, within 24 hours, they've been found dead. I just feel that I've been really blessed with a second chance, and I can't believe that I've been blessed with this opportunity to heal the way that I have. If you asked me 10 years ago what it looked like to get well and doing what I had to do, I was ready for the biggest fight of my life, and it was like fighting for Amanda. And I never really stood up for anything or anybody, and now I feel that I know what I stand for, and so I won't fall for anything, and I will definitely stand up the good fight for other women.
How does it feel to be recognized with this Courage to Come Back Award?
I was humbled and I was really excited. You know, when I got the phone call, I remember phoning my girlfriends and, you know, saying, oh, yay, we get to wear the dress, you know. But also I got scared at the same time because I started thinking about all the things that I came through to get to this place. It was kind of breathtaking and amazing at the same time.
And if there's a message from your story that you want people to take away listening to this, what is it? Is that there's hope, that there's a way through all of this, that, as you said a few moments ago, if you can do it, anyone can do it?
There is this one line that was a game changer to me. And it was like, burn the idea into your consciousness that you can recover regardless of anything or anybody. And I'll never forget those words that came out of that woman's mouth. And I remember holding on to those words, that because like there's a lot of time thinking that we have this self-dialogue and it's negative and it's like it happens for everybody else and not us. And it's just like, or did I cross the line, or am I too, you know, damaged? Because I felt like I was damaged good. And I didn't know that I'd be able to come back. And if I did come back, would I come back like brain damaged, or, you know, would I be able to be a supportive member of society? Would I be able to function in community? And I just like, there was that, all those things inside of me, I just had to go against all odds and I had nothing to lose. So I would definitely, you know, be your own hero and dig deep and not let other people's opinions or ideas or diagnosis stop you from thinking what you can do.
It sounds like you've done just that.
Thank you.
All right, let's leave it there. That's Amanda Staller, the 2020 Coast Mental Health Courage to Come Back Award winner in the category of addiction.
You're listening to News 1130, Vancouver's breaking news, traffic and weather station.